First John chapter 4, verse 7. For First John chapter 4, if you're able to stand, I invite you to stand to read God's word. First John chapter 4, we'll be reading verse 4, 7, 8, 16. First John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Then look on down to verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And then on down to verse 16. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, again, we must stop. Lord, acknowledge our shortcomings. And Lord, we ask you for help tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, you bless thy word as it goes forth. Lord, I pray you watch over my lips that I would not say anything I should not say, anything I need to say. Lord, I pray you call it to my remembrance. Father, Lord, just thank you for this night, for the opportunity. God, I pray you'd speak to my heart as well as other hearts tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. With a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I preach on the wholeness of God, and that's kind of a springboard in this lesson, which is the love of God. And it's the same type of outline as it was that Sunday morning, kind of a longer outline, just to lay a foundation. I guess Roman number one would be the definition of God's love. The definition I have is that love is the attribute of God by which he's inclined to seek the highest good for his creatures and the communication of himself to them regardless of the sacrifice involved. Again, we're going to go back to these over and over throughout the message. Love is the attribute of God by which he is inclined to seek the highest good for his creatures and the communication of himself to them regardless of the sacrifice involved. So we see the meaning of God's love is that he always seeks our good in communication with us. And then look at Roman number two, the scriptural fact of God's love. Look at John 3:16. Look at John 3:16. Again, this is just a basic outline. John 3:16. Again, the scriptural fact of God's love. Would you be able to shut those shades for us, maybe? Please. John 3:16 says this, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we see that God loves the world. And then look back to 1 John 3:16 also. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So we've seen that again, we'll go over again, the meaning of God's love. Love is the attribute of God by which he is inclined to seek the highest good for his creatures and the communication of himself to them, regardless of the sacrifice involved. Then we saw Roman number two, the scriptural fact of God's love. Now we're under Roman number three, the objects of his love. Look back, if you would, at Matthew 3:17. The object of his love, the first object of his love is found in Mark, Matthew 3:17. Matthew 3:17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then the same phrase as you used throughout all the New Testament, the baptism of Christ. And then look over to 1 John 5:20. Again, we're going to have a lot of verses tonight. Faith coming hearing and hearing by the word of God. 1 John 5:20. John 5:20, and we know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So we see that the object of God's love, number one, is his Son. And secondly, we see the object of God's love is believers. Turn back to the book of John, chapter 16, verse 27. a lot of verses. John 16:27. It's not original. John 16:27. But for my first minute study, I've been going back and just look up some things about God. John 16:27. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So we see that God loves his Son. He loves believers. Now look over to back to John 14:21. John 14:21. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, that I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So we see that the object of God's love is the Son. The object of God's love is believers. And then look over to Romans 5:8. Another object of God's love is sinners. We're going to tie all this together here in just a little bit. Romans 5:8. Says this: but God commendeth his love towards us, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Of course, we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So again, just rehearse the meaning of God's love. Love is the attribute of God by which he is inclined to seek the highest good for his creatures and the communication of himself, regardless of the sacrifice involved. We saw the scriptural facts of God's love, and then we see the objects of his love are his Son, believers, and sinners. And then Roman number 4, if you take an outline, would be the manifestations of God's love, or how God's love is seen. We see, first of all, letter A, that you know, God's love is seen on the cross. You're here at Romans 5:8. We look at that again. But God can listen to what you said, as Christ died for us. We know that God loved us because Christ died for us on the cross of Calvary. Okay, on over to Isaiah 55:7. Please bear with me. Isaiah 55:7. Isaiah 55:7. We see that the manifestation of his love is seen in the cross. His love is also seen in offering a free pardon to all. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So we see his love in the cross. We see his love in offering a pardon to all people. And then I look over to Hebrews 12. We see his love also in the chastisement of us as his children. Hebrews 12. Am I going too fast? We are? Not too fast. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12. Well, yeah, the other day, I gave my wife a hard time in church because she was tapping her foot to the church next to us a couple Sundays ago. And then the next Sunday, they were doing it again, and I looked over. Her foot wasn't tapping, but then I listened to myself, and I was getting with it. I was going right with the music, so I had to stop and slow myself down. So her sin rubbed off on me. Sin does affect. Hebrews chapter 12. But thanks to the Lord, that church has, I think they moved on, but they're no longer there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So we see his love is seen in the cross. His love is seen in the offering a free pardon to all. His love is seen in the chastisement of his children. Now turn back to Isaiah chapter 53. Again, a lot of verses tonight, just like a couple weeks ago. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 33 through 5. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. His love is seen in his suffering for us. Again, just a review for repetition's sake. The meaning of God's love, love is the attribute of God which by which he is inclined to seek the highest good for us as creatures, and the communication of himself to them, regardless of the sacrifice involved. We saw the scriptural facts of God's love. We saw the object of his love, or his son, the believers, and the sinners. We saw God's love is seen in the cross. It's seen in him offering a free pardon to all. It's seen in the chastisement of his children. It's seen in his suffering for us. Then remember number five, we have the varieties of God's love, or how it's shown. The varieties of God's love. Number one, it's shown when we are in distress as compassion. Look at Isaiah 63:9. You're in Isaiah. We'll try to keep you as close as we can. Isaiah 63:9. We should see when it comes to us in time of distress, it's seen as compassion. Isaiah 63:9. In their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them the days of old. So we see his love shows itself in compassion toward us. And then look over to John 17:23. We're almost done with all the verses. John 17:23. John 17:23 says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and know that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou lovest me. His love is seen as compassion. It's also seen as affection when we have a relationship with him. It's seen as affection. Then look back to Luke 6:35. So we see it's seen as compassion, it's seen as affection. We see also it's seen as a benevolent love when it's toward the undeserving, which we all are. Luke 6:35. And then just a little bit, we're going to jump back to the conclusion of the sermon on holiness from last week. Luke 6:35 says this, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So we see his love is compassion, his love is affection, his love is benevolent. And then look over to Romans 8:35. We're almost there. Romans 8:35. Romans chapter 8, remember verse 35. His love is immutable. Romans 8:35 says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? So we see that his love is unchanging. Okay, so again, to just go a review, but this is still in the introduction. The meaning of God's love, love is the attribute of God by which he is inclined to seek the highest good for his creatures, and the communication of himself to them regardless of the sacrifice involved. We saw the scriptural fact of God's love. We saw the object are his son, the believers, and the sinner. We saw that God's love is seen at the cross in the offering of a free pardon to all, in the chastisement of his children. We've seen it's in his suffering. We see that the varieties of the quality of God's love. Our compassion is shown to those who are in distress. It's shown as affection to those that have a relationship with him. It's shown in benevolence to the unthankful. And then we saw his love never changes. And then the last thing tonight is simply is this. God's love is holy. God's love is holy. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at the definition of holiness. God's infinitely set apart from sin, himself being infinitely perfect in all things. God's infinitely set apart from sin, himself being infinitely perfect in all things. We see that God is a God of love, and amen. We also see that God is holy. His love is holy. We saw the word holiness means you know, completely set apart from sin. But I thought the statement is this: I know that God loves me with an everlasting love. I know that God's love will never change. I also know that God is holy. Got a couple of illustrations. Number one, a couple of weeks ago, we had you pray for Rhonda. A late admission that came in one Saturday and said she was walking the tracks and was going to kill herself, but she wanted to stop at the mission first. And she came in, we talked to her a little bit, asked if I could show her the Bible, and opened the Bible, and in the very first word, she screamed, got up, and left. And I asked you to pray for her. God loved her. God loved her with an everlasting love. God loved her with an immutable love. God loved her, God loved her. She chose to reject God's love. Monday, she walked up the train tracks. Train coming. She walked into the train. She died instantly. God loved her. But because God is holy, she went to hell. God freely gave the pardon. She would not take the pardon. Because God is holy, the holiness of God did not negate the love of God. God is holy, and God loved her. But God did not give her a free pass into heaven because he loved her. It's not a permissive love. It's a holy love. When we talk about the holiness of God, we talk about King David. God loved King David. Man after God's own heart. God loved David. But when David chose to go to the rooftop and to sin, God loved him. But because God's love is holy, God chastised him as a son. And it cost him greatly. When I think of God's love tonight, I want us just to be reminded that God doesn't wink at sin because he's a holy God. He doesn't condone. He's not a permissive. He's a holy God, loving God, merciful God. Mercies are new every morning. But I think sometimes in today's world, because we're so confused about what real love is, parents allow their kids to get by with things because they love their kids and they don't want to punish them. I think that we got accustomed to that, and we think that we as Christians can live the way we want to live and God not judge. People, a lot of people think that they can live a good life, and Rhonda had Jesus on her tattooed on her forearm, just, you know, the old where they just take needles and poke in you, just a very crude one. Somebody today said, well, I'm sure she's going to heaven because she had Jesus on her forearm. If she didn't have Jesus in her heart, she went to hell. Folks don't want to hear that because God is love. They forget that God is also holy, infinitely set apart from sin. King David, God judged him harshly as a son. Because God loves us as his children, he deals with us as with sons. And God doesn't wink at sin. Thought also of Christ there on the cross of Calvary. God loved his son. God loved the sinners. Christ died for all men. But if they choose to reject Christ as their Savior, they're going to hell. Because God's love is holy. It's not permissive. God loves the saints. But because God's holy, he will chastise his children. He did David, Moses, Solomon, all through the Bible. Look around us. God judges his saints that live in sin because God is holy. He loves them. And even his son, on the cross of Calvary. From what I can tell, the only time in history that God the Father has ever turned away from God the Son. God loved the Son. My beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. God loved the Son. His love was holy. For a period of time when our sin was placed on the shoulders, on the back of Christ there on the cross of Calvary, for a period of time, God the Father had to turn away. He loved the Son. He's holy. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because his love is holy. He could not look upon sin. When all the judgment was coming down on Jesus, the Father couldn't look. His love is holy. Yes, God is a God of love. It doesn't change. But because it's holy love, it's not the type of love that we think of when we say, I love someone. Our love can go up and down. God's love doesn't go up and down. God's love doesn't change. Peter denied Christ, yet God loved him and worked in his life. Judas betrayed Christ, but Jesus loved him and called him friend. In our lives of Satan, and this message short, but God is love. I think we all need to stop and remind ourselves that yes, he loves me. He loves me. I don't have to earn his love. I don't deserve his love. His love is merciful. And God loves me. When I'm good, he loves me. When I'm bad, he still loves me. I don't have to fight for his approval to hear him say, I love you. He loves me. An everlasting love. But his love is not permissive. And as a child of God, if I get away from God, as a loving father, he's going to chastise me, and he's going to bring me back home. As a sinner, we need to understand this. I used the illustration a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, about a guy named George Wilson. When Andrew Jackson was president of the United States, George Wilson, I think he'd robbed a mail car or something like that, and a man had died in the robbery. He was sentenced to die. For some reason, with Andrew Jackson heard about it, and Andrew Jackson issued a pardon to save the life of George Wilson. They delivered the pardon to the prison where George Wilson was, and he refused it. He would not take the pardon. They went back and they told Andrew Jackson, and it went to the Supreme Court. Does he have to take the pardon? It was given. And the Supreme Court came back with a ruling in things like this. A pardon is given, it must be received to be complete. God pardoned all sinners. God pardoned Rhonda. But if she never received that pardon, she went to hell. Tonight, let's remind ourselves of our friends and loved ones around us. They're dying. God loves them. God's issued a free pardon. But just because they're my friends, my loved ones, my kids, my grandkids, doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Without Christ as their Savior, they're going to hell. Yes, God loves them. And God issued a pardon for them. But if they don't receive that pardon, God will love them. But his holiness, they'll be cast into hell. As a child of God, yes, God loves me. And yes, I'm thankful that God is patient and kind, merciful, and all these things. And he does all those things. He works with us. But there comes a point as a child of God when I have sin in my life, and I know it's wrong, and God's dealt with me. That God will deal with me in his love. It might seem harsh, but because he is holy, his justice is holy too. Everything he does is holy. As a father, he will chastise, he will get my attention. And the day will come if I continue that sin and he's tried to correct me and I won't receive the correction, he'll love me. but he'll take me home. There's a sentence to death. There come a point in my life when God says, okay, Rick, I love you, but come home. You've gone far enough. God loves us. I'm thankful for his consolation, for his affection. Turn if you would over to the book of Zephaniah 3:17. Here's what we should all strive for. I'm not sure what to call it, but I'm going to read the verse. Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3 should be verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I think that is seen over in Matthew 17:5. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. While he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Bible says to let not the mighty man glory in his might. Said, but let him glory in this that he understandeth and knoweth God. It's my desire tonight, and I don't, to know God in such a way I understand his holiness, I understand his love, and to have his love rest upon me. Just to be able to, just to know that God loves me with that everlasting love, and he just kind of, you know, he overshadows me and shows me the affection and the love, and then I know everything is okay. The storms of life come. Heartaches come. But when I know that God loves me with everlasting love, he's affectionate, he's kind, he's holy, he seeks nothing but the good for my benefit, no matter what it costs him, he does it all for me because he loves me. What? Not an emotional feeling, but just to know the love of God. To know it's all going to be okay. He means it all for good. This morning, in Brother Harris's letter, we talked to him this week. It is a statement. He said, there's been some rough times, but they were all good. When Bethany died, he and his mom sang at the funeral. All sufficient grace. He's experiencing the love of God. God moved in and said, it's all okay. It's going to be good. But if I let allow sin in my life to have a hold in my life, I will never experience that love that God wants me to know. It's there. As a pardon for the sinners there, they receive it. His love is there. Look, come up here real quick, please. Here's my wife. I love my wife. No jokes. What? I love it when she hugs me. Give me a hug. Nah, give me a real hug. Oh, there we go. Whoa. Just love it. Thank you. Sometimes, don't we just need a hug from God? Him say it's going to be okay. We have to receive it. Let our guards down. Confess our sin. Draw nigh to him. He draws nigh to us. And we can experience that love of God. Tonight, let's all know that God loves us. But it's not a permissive love that allows us to do things we shouldn't do. God winks at them and says, it's okay. I understand. You're just human. No, it's sin. God's holy. Tonight, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, and you know you're not saved. I want to tell you that God loves you, but it's a holy love. God's issued a pardon for all that they would be saved. That's the part he issued, but it must be received. I came to Good Advil for quite a few years, and I knew I played the game. I knew I was lost. Carried my Bible to school, hand tracked out of school. Had I died knowing I was lost, I went to hell. God loved me, and God wanted me to be saved, but I never received that pardon. Then when I was 15 years old, received the pardon, saved. You want God's love? Let's get sin out of our lives. Let's quit harboring sin, whether it be sins of commission, sins of omission. We're quick to judge the younger brother, things he did. Pastor preached at this morning. The elder brother, he stayed home, but he wasn't right either. There are sins of commission, sins of omission. Tonight, I challenge us all. Let's search our heart. Anything we need to get rid of, let's get rid of it tonight. Let's judge. God won't wink at our sin. He will warn us first. Then he will begin to chastise. Then he will take us home if need be. He's holy. His love is holy. Tonight, what in your life is hindering you from knowing God in a mighty way? Father in heaven, Lord.